නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස සම්මා සංකප්පෝ ආනන්ද භාවිතා බහුලී කතා රාග විනය පරියෝසානා හෝති දෝෂ විනය පරියෝසානා හෝති මෝහ විනය පරියෝසානා හෝති ති. Dear Dhamma friends, so we are discussing various suttas in order to get some guidance for our practice. And nowadays, actually, we are paying attention to Noble Eightfold Path. So we have kept several suttas in the consideration. So basically, we are getting guidance from Janussoni Brahmana Sutta. So that is mentioned in the Sangyutta Nikaya, in Magga Sangyutta. And the incident was that Brahmin called Janussoni is traveling in the city of Sravasti, and at that time Venerable Ananda was going on alms round. So the speciality here is that Brahmin Janussoni has used a complete white color chariot, and he himself has adorned with white color clothing, and even the charioteer was adorned with white color clothing, and everything there was white. So people were happy and they were surprised to see this vehicle, and they start to talk about it. They start to mention that this is kind of a divine vehicle, and that scene was noticed by Venerable Ananda. And after returning from alms round, he mentioned this to Buddha. So he has seen this kind of a sight while he was in alms round. So this is a really special vehicle, special chariot. And is it possible to connect this with Dhamma? So this is the kind of question that Venerable Ananda put to the Buddha. So is it possible to connect this kind of a vehicle, this supreme vehicle, to in terms of the Dhamma? Is there any kind of an analogy? Then Buddha said, yes, it is possible. And the great vehicle, the Dhamma vehicle, a divine vehicle, Brahma vehicle, is nothing but Noble Eightfold Path. It's a synonym for Noble Eightfold Path. So that is being used for the destruction of various defilements, so can be interpreted as a kind of a battle with the defilements. So in this kind of a war, so Noble Eightfold Path can be considered as a kind of a vehicle which is providing the victory in this kind of battle. So therefore, that is the Dhamma vehicle, that is the Brahma vehicle, that is the divine vehicle, that is nothing but Noble Eightfold Path. So here we are discussing various those path factors, and we started with the right view, Sammaditti, and there we discussed that it has two sides, that the Sasava Punya Bhagya Upadi Vepakka, the one with taints and having of merit, partaking of merit, and then providing requisites or acquisitions, various assets. So that is in one side the typical kind of Sammaditti, right view. And that is basically emphasizing on the actions, emphasizing the karma. If we do correct thing, it will reap good results. If we do bad things, incorrect things, harmful things, then it will reap wrong results or bad results. So this is the basic rule, and therefore this level of Sammaditti is sometimes called as Kammasakata Sammaditti. The Sammaditti, the right view based on the karma, the belief of karma. Second, we went to the other side, that is the supramundane type of Sammaditti, where Buddha mentioned Sammaditti Ariya Anasava Lokuttara Magganga. There's another type of Sammaditti that is noble, taintless, supramundane, and it's a factor of the path. Now this is an interesting part that we discussed in length. What are the various aspects of this Sammaditti? And now we actually have reached the other part. So that is the sammasankappa, because we have spent a couple of weeks to discuss sammaditti, and I feel now it is the time to touch sammasankappa. So sammasankappa is the second path factor, and there are also Buddha mentioned sammasankappo ananda bhavito bahuli kato raga vinaya pariyosana hoti dosa vinaya pariyosano hoti moha vinaya pariyosano hoti. Basically, if one develops sammasankappa, right intention, correct intention, so that leads to the fading away of lust, fading away of hatred, and fading away of delusion. So we therefore have to discuss about this path factor. We have to try, we can understand this path factor, because this is also necessary to incorporate in our practice. Now here also Buddha mentioned this path factor, like sammaditti, this also has two sides or two levels, we can say. So one is the as mentioned for sammaditti, one is the typical or the worldly kind of sammaditti, the other one is the sammasankappa, the other one is the sammasankappa which is leading towards the super mundane type of understanding. Now before reaching there, it's better to get some idea about what is micchasankappa, the wrong intention. So they are also mentioned in the Mahachattarisika Sutta in the Majjhima Nikaya. So what are the types of wrong intentions? So mainly there are three categories of wrong intentions: Kama Sankappa, Vyapada Sankappa, and Vihinsa Sankappa. So these are some familiar terms, I believe. So Kama Sankappa, so there are different levels of sensual intentions, sensual desires available in the mind. Say for example, if we are desiring some sort of beautiful sights, so that is some kind of a kama sankappa, sensual desire, sensual intention. And then suppose we are intending or desiring some pleasant sounds, so that is a kama sankappa. If we are desiring various say incense, pleasant incense, if we are desiring delicious taste, if we are desiring pleasant sensations, tactile sensations, so those five types of kama, this sensual desires, are categorized into this kama sankappa. Now this is one level, and then so this is also called as vattu kama. So there are various items which is providing this sort of happiness, pleasure, and various sights, sounds, and then odors, taste, and tactile sensations. And again another type is called kilesa kama, so where we have various desires for those interesting items. So various desirable items are there, so we have those desires. So desire is called kilesa kama, and the objects are called vattu kama. So there are various objects, as I said, sights, sounds, smells, tastes, etc. Those are called vattu kama. So those are the objects basically. And we have sort of a desire for those, and that is, those are the kilesas. So those are the defilements in a way. Now both are considered as kama. So in the kama sankappa, so we have to deal with both sides. And typically this is the mundane type of desires that we all have. So while being in this human realm, so we all desire for pleasurable sights, pleasurable sounds, pleasurable odors, pleasurable tastes, and pleasurable sensations. Now this is even common to the celestial realms. You have heard that there are six celestial realms, and they also are abundant with these five chords of sensual pleasures. So that is what typically people are following and desiring, and therefore there are various ambitions in the minds of the people who are desiring these various five chords of sensual pleasures. Now, so because of this, actually people have various quarrels and wars and all the arguments, because all are desiring the best things, but they are quite limited and they have sometimes some common or overlapping desires. So likewise, there are many confusions, complications and quarrels, and ultimately even wars. Now then happens the Vyapada Sankappa. So that also somewhat related to the previous one. So when we are trying to acquire various sense objects, pleasurable objects, so there could be someone else who is also desiring for that, and it could be even limited, and we have to even compete with another person. And sometimes once we acquire them, we have to protect them, otherwise sometimes others might steal it. So likewise, there are various other issues now going to happen, because once we acquire things, so we have to protect, so others also like the same thing that what we have acquired. So there are sort of ill will can happen, because not only us but the others also in the competition. So there are ill will, and again sometimes people behave as we don't like. We can't approve what they behave, how they behave. So likewise, ill will going to happen in many different ways. And vihinsa sankappa, so once we are boiling with this sort of hatred, this sort of ill will, so we might even think of harm to the other person, to kill the other person, to harm the other person, and we may even wish the harm to another person. So likewise, the vihinsa sankappa also can happen. So likewise, if we consider the typical undeveloped mind, so these are the types of thoughts we typically have. So there are maybe thoughts related to the past involving these sort of wrong views. There may be these sort of thoughts involved in the future, predicting in the future, I'm going to have this and that, I'm going to do this and that, I should harm this way. So likewise, we can even have sort of planning to hurt another person, planning to kill another person, planning to harm another person. And likewise, this is not limited to the present moment, but even to the past and the future. So these are the thoughts that the typical mind is occupied with. Now, probably we can understand, so this sort of thinking is detrimental to our spiritual life, and it is harmful not only to the others, but for the ourselves. And is sometimes it is difficult to understand, because thinking like this even provide some sort of a satisfaction. Say if someone is thinking about some sort of a sexual fantasy, so it might provide some sort of a satisfaction, kind of a delight. So people used to think. Not only that, even any other kind of a pleasurable thing, whenever we are even fantasizing, even proliferating, so that is providing some sort of a happiness. So therefore, it even penetrates to the mind, and not only the external objects come and only impinge on the internal objects or internal faculties, but it have a great impact on the mind. So mind even store all these pleasurable moments as kind of memories, and mind even project to all these pleasurable moments as kind of anticipation, desiring, wishing, ambition, so in many different ways. So our mind is fairly occupied with this sort of thinking. Now, if one understood the hazard there, if one understood the danger there, then one have to change this way of thinking. So that is where Buddha talks about සම්මා සංකප්පෝ සාසවෝ පුඤ්ඤ භාගියෝ උපදි වේපක්කෝ. So first of all we have to establish ourselves in the good way of thinking. We have to switch to the correct ambitions. We have to switch to the, say, harmless intentions. So this is a kind of a first step that we have to take. So there is no big, deep understanding. At least we understand that the previous kind of thinking is harmful to ourselves and is harmful to the others. So therefore we need to switch that harmful thinking into some beneficial way of thinking. So this thinking is the starting point of our sammasankappa. This is the first level, that is the mundane kind of sammasankappa. Sammasankappo sasavo punya bhagyo upadi vepakko. So this is still based on the tense. There is no deep understanding yet, but it is now dealing with correct way of thinking. And therefore, it provides some better requisites or better acquisitions, better assets, correct assets, beneficial assets. So this actually Buddha further elaborate into three kind of intentions. Nekkhamma sankappo, avyapada sankappo, abhihinsa sankappo. You can notice that these are exact opposite of previous three. So the nekkhamma sankappa is opposite to kama sankappa. So nekkhamma sankappa literally means that we are sort of having thoughts of renunciation, having thoughts of letting go, kind of generosity. So this is the opposite of kama sankappa. The kama sankappa always leads to acquiring things, holding things, and possessing things, and satisfying or gratifying our senses. But on the other hand, nekkhamma sankappa has kind of letting go, relinquishing, sort of restraint of the senses, of various sensual desires. So that is the nekkhamma sankappa. And then avyapada sankappa is the exact opposite of vyapada sankappa. So instead of having ill will, so one can have loving kindness. And then avihinsa sankappa is the exact opposite of vihinsa sankappa. Instead of having harmful thoughts towards another person, one can have sort of a compassionate thoughts towards another person. Now these three items are quite interesting. And this is the beginning of sammasankappa. So still there is a view of personality, a view of a person. So I should have some good thoughts. I should think of renunciation. I should think of, say, letting go. So likewise, kind of a person is still involved. So that is why it is called sasava. So it is with tense. But anyway, this person is now a good person. Now he is now trying to become a wise person. He is now trying to become a good person, a sappurisa, with renunciating thoughts, with some generous thoughts. He is not only, satisfying his senses for himself. Rather, he likes to even share whatever the resources he has, whatever the wealth he has, with another person. He can generously donate to some others, the welfare of the others. So this kind of donation, this kind of letting go, this kind of generosity even can lead to further renunciation towards the even homeless life. Say for example, one is leading a lay life. As a lay person, one is doing good things, being generous and helping others and thinking about the welfare of the others. So likewise, one is further and further improving one's generous ideas, this nekkhamma sankappa, and that even can lead to the complete renunciation from lay life and to become a monk or a nun. So that is also another level of nekkhamma sankappa. And then if we consider the avyapada sankappa, so that is also very commonly available. So most people are practicing metta, loving kindness. So instead of thinking ill will or thinking in a hateful manner, now one is trying to occupy one's minds with loving kindness. So metta practice is a very common and very popular way of practice. And instead of thinking harm to another person, one can even think of welfare of another person. So one may get into the compassion even. Now that is the Avihinsa Sankappa. Now this loving kindness practice, compassion practice, is also connected to the mindfulness. Say, first of all, we have to be mindful of ourselves. Then only we can better understand how well we are continuing, how well we are living. So we have to look after ourselves, and then also we have to look after the others as well. We should think about our own welfare and then the welfare of others. Now these thoughts, say avyapada sankappa, vihinsa sankappa, avihinsa sankappa, therefore involve not only the others but oneself as well. Now say for example in metta practice, first of all we pay attention to ourselves and we are looking after ourselves. We are concerned about the welfare of ourselves. And we have kind of a loving kindness thoughts towards ourselves. And then such loving kindness, now we are trying to say wish to another person as well. Actually, it is easy to wish to another person who is like to us, who is our friend. But when it is going to a person who is not known to us or even kind of indifferent to us, then having same amount of loving kindness is not easy. And even it is more difficult to another person who whom we don't like. There may be a person that we don't like, maybe even a kind of a foe. To him have kind of a loving kindness thoughts is also challenging. So therefore this loving kindness practice have different levels. So first of all, we have to have loving kindness towards ourselves, taking care of ourselves, looking after ourselves, considering the well-being of health and the physical and the mental well-being of ourselves. And same kind of an attitude can be spread towards the others as well. Similarly, we have to have sort of a compassion towards ourselves. And same compassion can be spread to others as well. Now, say for example, if one is practicing mindfulness or any kind of meditation, so there also this is involved, because sometimes we understand the mind is not that easy to tame or easy to develop. It has various kinds of wrong thoughts. Say micchā saṅkappa, avyāpāda saṅkappa, kāma saṅkappa. So those are the typical realm of the mind. Now when we are trying to change it to the other side, to the good side, so sometimes it is very difficult. Sometimes it is challenging. So at that moment we have to have some sort of a self-compassion, because we have to understand, okay, now the mind is not that developed. It is always going or following the various wrong thoughts. So I need to correct this. So likewise, we have to have sort of a compassion towards ourselves. And while practicing mindfulness, there also when the mind is distracting, again and again we have to bring it back. So there also if we are impatient, so then we even hate ourselves, considering that we are with no hope and hopeless, and we can never correct ourselves, we can never improve ourselves, so we can even have a kind of a self-hate. But instead of that, so to have kind of a self-compassion, loving kindness and even forgiving attitude is quite important. So therefore this sammasankappa has a kind of a broad meaning. So it is not only to the others but to ourselves. We have to have a compassion, we have to have loving kindness, forgiving kind of an attitude. Now when it comes to sammasankappa ariyo anasavo lokuttaro maggango. Now if suppose one is with the aim of developing these right views, intentions for the betterment, for the complete understanding of the Buddha's teaching. Now he is trying not just to be a good person, but even to penetrate the Dhamma, even to further enhance his understanding. Now there are, one is having kind of a proper thinking, one is having sort of a intention and kind of a mental focus, and he's fixing his way of thinking, he's directing his mind, and even it can happen as verbal formations. Now here actually one start to work on one's mind. It is not just the replacement of the wrong thoughts, that is also one part, but now one is trying to develop one's mind. One is taking kind of a spiritual life. One is initiating kind of a spiritual life. So this is a kind of a turning point in one's life. So there Buddha mentioned this is kind of a beginning of supramundane type of sammasankappa. Yoko bhikkave ariya chittasse anasava chittasse ariya magga samangino ariya maggam bhaveto. So this is a kind of a correct intention happens in a person who is developing the Noble Eightfold Path, who is really practicing. He now wants to have kind of a developed spirituality. So he wants to develop himself. He wants to develop or take care of one's mind, one own mind. So likewise, he is not just being a good person, rather even he wants to further enhance his understanding, enhance his way of thinking. Now therefore, Buddha mentioned, in such practitioner, there can be some sort of a takka, that is a kind of a logic, kind of a way of thinking. And then vitakka, kind of a thought, sankappa, kind of an intention. And then appana, kind of a mental focus, you are attending to it, you are adverting your attention. You are adverting to some sort of proper way of thinking. And then vyappana, kind of a mental fixity, kind of fixation. Okay, I should think like this, I should not think like that. So likewise, you are sort of having kind of a determination. And then chetaso abhiropana, so you are directing the mind. So your way of thinking is now aligned with proper way. You are now trying to align with the proper way of thinking. And then vachi sankharo. So this is the vitakka and vichara. So when your mind is directed to a proper way of thinking, and then your mind is sort of dwelling there, so then even it can happen as verbal, say, words. You may even start to talk using that proper way, based on that proper way of thinking. So likewise, now we are getting to some, in a way, refined or deep levels of sammasankappa. So this is where Buddha mentioned, it is, one is now developing proper thinking, correct intention in the supramundane type of level. So micchā saṅkappassa pahānāya vāyamati. Now one is taking kind of effort to relinquish wrong intentions. Sammā saṅkappassa upasampadā. Instead of having wrong intentions, one is now trying to occupy one's mind with correct thinking, correct ambitions, say correct way of thinking, with correct mental focus. And not only that, so one has to have fair amount of mindfulness in order to guard one's mind, because mind is not an easy sort of a task. Observing the mind is not an easy task, so one has to develop mindfulness in order to come to that level. So immediately you can't start correcting your way of thinking, but you have to take on to a kind of a gradual path in order to pay attention to the mind. So that is where the mindfulness practice, say Satipatthana, is quite important, where first of all one has to start developing mindfulness, the quality of mindfulness or the skill of mindfulness. So that immediately you can't start with the mind. So that is where we have to start with some simple activities or some simple exercises. Say for example, while walking you are now trying to be mindful. While eating you are trying to be mindful. While breathing, you are trying to be mindful. While various bodily activities are happening, various bodily processes are happening, you are trying to be awakened. You are trying to be aware of those processes. So likewise, there's a kind of a gradual path to enhance one's mindfulness. So this is the area that we can begin. So immediately starting to remove one's, purify one's mind, to remove all these kama sankappa, vyapada sankappa, vihinsa sankappa, and replace them with nekkhamma sankappa, vyapada sankappa, avihinsa sankappa, is not an easy task. So first of all, therefore, we have to start where we can get on to this task, and that is via sekaya anupassana. So some easy activities are there, even though I am telling them as easy, you may understand that they are also not easy, because mind is so vulnerable and so distracted, so scattered. So such a mind has to be tamed and focused and well guarded and aligned with proper way of thinking. So that's a kind of a huge task to do. So in order to get into that, so certain simple exercises like, say, walking, sitting, daily activities. So establishing mindfulness on those activities may be really helpful. So when one is understanding the mindfulness, then one slowly expand that to the mind. So there one can be aware, okay, there is a wrong thought. There is a kind of a harmful thought. There is a kind of an ill will. There is a kind of a sensual desire. So various thoughts can be noticed in the mind. So this actually naturally happens. It is not that you are sort of taking a course, say 1 year with Kaya Anupassana, another year with Vedana Anupassana, and then you go to Chitta Anupassana. Rather, when you are developing with the body, paying attention to various bodily activities, bodily processes, so there it develops naturally. So you gain the capacity or you gain the skill to watch this mind, to guard the mind. So even unknowingly, you may switch or you may get into the realm of the mind. So you even take a kind of an attempt to watch the mind. So you may sometimes understand, even though I am now trying to watch the mind, guard the mind, I may get caught with various thoughts. Whenever a kama sankappa happens, whenever kind of a lustful thought happens, a desire happens in the mind, sometimes we may be aware, but once we are aware of that, sometimes we being pulled into it, driven by that. So that can happen, because those desires are very powerful, quite tempting. So therefore they have very attractive nature, and if we have weak mindfulness, so we can't handle it. So therefore various methods that we have to use in order to practice this. So there we can get into a very interesting discussion which is available in the Dvidha Vitakka Sutta, where Buddha explained how as a bodhisattva he developed his mind. So one strategy that he understood or he used is kind of a categorizing. So he is now watching his mind, his own mind, and he categorized the various thoughts happens in his mind. So he categorized into the akusala and kusala. So akusala vitakka, that means the unwholesome thoughts, and the other side is the kusala vitakka, the wholesome thoughts. Now he is watching his mind in a way, kind of chittanupassana. So there he recognized whenever a sensual thought arise, sensual desire arise. So there he categorized, okay, this is an akusala vitakka. Whenever ill will arise in his mind, kind of a resentment, kind of a resistance arise in his mind, so he recognized it. He put that category. So this is an akusala vitakka. Whenever vihinsa vitakka happens, say kind of a harmful thoughts towards another person arise in his mind, so he categorized it. This is an akusala vitakka. And not only that, he understand the repercussions, he understand the consequences of that. If we continue to have sort of sensual desires continuously in his mind, he mentioned, Atta vyadaya pisangvattati, it is harmful to myself. Again and again now I am going to burn with lust. Again and again I am going to burn with various desires. So it doesn't calm down my mind, instead it will sort of agitate the mind. So it is harmful to myself. Not only that, parabhyadaya pisangvattati, it is harmful to another person. Say for example, now you are thinking sort of a ill will. Hateful thoughts are going on in the mind. So you may start to burn. So the mind get agitated, mind may lose its calmness, peacefulness. Instead of that, so the mind is now burning. So you are suffering. So if you continue to burn like this, if you continue to hate, enjoy, sort of occupy this sort of thinking, then it can even lead to, say, rough words, bad words, filthy words, and it not, can even lead to harm another person, to hit another person, to get into an argument, to get into a quarrel. So that is also can happen. So therefore, it is harmful to oneself and it is harmful to another person. So therefore, ubhaya vyadaya api sangvattati. So it is harmful to both sides. Panya nirodhiko. So it is destroying one's innate wisdom. So in order to have proper wisdom, one has to maintain positive mindset. Now hear the ill will, hear the sensual desires, hear the harmful thoughts are all on the opposite. So therefore they are harming the inner, say, happiness, inner concentration, calmness, peacefulness, and even the wisdom. Panya nirodhiko, whatever the wisdom that you are able to develop is now going to destroy because of this way of thinking. Vigata pakkiko, and they actually contribute towards kind of a suffering. So you are suffering, you are sorrowing, you are hating, you are burning. So it is vigata pakkiko. So you are in the suffering side. Anibbana sangvattaniko, it doesn't give any kind of a peace to the mind. Instead, it's kind of a burning in the mind. Now, the Bodhisattva, the Buddha to be, is now recognizing this. So whenever he recognized like this, so he mentioned that those kama vitakka, sensual desires, start to fade away because he understand the repercussions. He understand the consequences. He understand the danger. So when he is understanding the danger, so those thoughts start to fade away. And on the other hand, whenever nekkamma vitakka arise, kind of a thought of renunciation, thought of generosity arise in his mind, so he understood it is sort of beneficial to myself. And if I continue, it is beneficial to another person. So neva vyada atta vyada api sangvattati, so it is not harmful to myself, not harmful to another person, and it is beneficial to both sides. And whenever one has kind of a loving kindness thoughts, so it is sort of giving kind of a pleasant abiding, kind of a smooth happiness in ourselves. So it is not only kind of a thought, it can even lead to kind of a compassionate thought. So you even go and help another person, you can even talk to another person, you can even have some sort of a kind attention, you start to talk kindly. So these kind words, kind attendance, and say good deeds, so all these are now leading because of this proper way of thinking. So abhyapada sankappa and avihinsa sankappa. Now you are having compassionate thoughts, loving kindness thoughts, and those are beneficial to oneself and beneficial to another person. And again panya vuddhiko, and it develops the wisdom. Instead of it is harming or destroying the wisdom, now this correct way of thinking develops wisdom. And avigahata pakkiko, and when you are in sort of having these thoughts, You feel sort of comfort. You are, instead of burning, now mind is calming down. Mind is in a kind of a pleasant abiding. And Nibbana Sangvattaniko. And it actually calms down the mind. So your mind, instead of being agitated, instead of being burning, so now it is sort of calmed down. Now, there's another interesting point that Buddha mentioned here. So, whenever we are thinking, either in the correct way or in the incorrect way, so there's a kind of an inclination happens in the mind. So this is a very interesting and very important point that Buddha highlights here. Yanya deva bhikkave bhikkhu bahula manu itakketi bahula manu vichareti tathadata nati hoti cetaso. Now, when assume that you are thinking too much lustful thoughts, assume that you are having ill will thoughts, say harmful thoughts. So if your mind is occupied with this kind of thinking again and again for long time, then there's a kind of an inclination in the mind, kind of a pattern, habit in the mind, just to think like that. Now you don't even have to initiate it, you don't need to willingly start it, rather mind automatically thinks in the same manner. Whenever a person comes, you see the faults. Whenever a person comes, you have sort of an ill will, you have kind of a resistance, kind of a, say, attitude of looking down, finding fault. So this kind of a attitude is now sort of become your innate kind of a quality. So this is in a way harmful to ourselves. On the other hand, assume that you are having correct way of thinking, always thinking loving kindness, you are trying to have compassionate thoughts, you are sort of trying to be generous. So you are always thinking or planning to help another person. So your mind is now attuned in the wholesome side. So there's a kind of an inclination in that. So this is something actually recently recognized as neuroplasticity, that our mind can be trained, and hence the brain also can be trained because of this way of thinking. Now, Buddha understood this, and even at the level of the Buddha to be, at the Bodhisattva level, and he actually did kind of a replacement. So instead of unwholesome thoughts, he replaced those with the wholesome thoughts. Because they are beneficial to oneself, beneficial to another person, and they are helping to develop wisdom, and they are calming down the mind, and it is therefore leading kind of a peace in the mind. Now therefore he did a kind of a replacement. So once his mind is occupied with the correct thinking, correct intentions, samma sankappa, now there are no many, say, sensual desires, sensual thoughts. There are not many, say, ill will thoughts, hateful thoughts. There are not many harmful thoughts. But mostly now the mind is occupied with correct thoughts. Now he is taking us, or sort of paying attention to another level. Now his mind is again and again this correct thing, correct thoughts. Renunciating thoughts, say, loving kindness thoughts, compassionate thoughts. Now his mind is fairly occupied with these correct thoughts. Now he is paying attention to that, and he says, so completely occupied mind with this sort of thinking, even though it is correct, it is giving some sort of tiring to the mind, some sort of a little agitation to the mind. Now this is actually a kind of a gradual development happens in the mind. Previously your mind is completely gross and even burning, and there is no wisdom. So it's, that is one level. And then what you do is you replace that wrong way of thinking into the wholesome way of thinking. Now the mind is occupied with the correct thinking. So now once you are in that level for some time, now your mind is fairly refined. So your mind is now becoming sensitive and you are more and more mindful, and mind is becoming more peaceful. Now your mind sensitivity improves, and later you will understand this thinking is little kind of a burden to the mind. It generates some sort of a tiring effect in one's mind. And when the mind is sort of tiresome, when the mind is somewhat exhausted, when the mind is somewhat burdened, so it actually causes some sort of a tiring in the body. So your body also feel little tired. You feel kind of a burden, kind of a burning out. So this is also there. Now Buddha mentioned that he noticed that. So after the replacement of the wholesome thoughts, when he is continuing that for some time, then he noticed this is a kind of a burden to the mind. Even little tiring impact to the body. So now he is thinking, further refining his mind by completely calming down this thinking. Soko aham bhikkave ajjattameva chittan santameni. Ajjattameva chittan santameni. Now he is thinking of just calming down his mind and establishing it in the body. Sannisidemi. Now, like keeping a chair, a comfortable chair, and sort of having a rest. Ekodin karomi, just to concentrate one's mind. Samadhami, just to collect one's mind. So this is another level of development where you are calming down the mind and not allowing the mind even to think the wholesome thoughts, but to have kind of an inner silence, kind of a quietened mind, stillness of the mind. And here Buddha mentioned now he felt more calmness, he felt more peacefulness, more clarity of mind, a improved level of peace. So here we can understand, so Buddha has taken kind of a gradual approach, and he has mentioned in this Vedavitakka Sutta, so what are his findings? And the last finding is that once you are gradually developing the mind, you may be able to come to this sort of a level where you are able to calm down thinking. You are able to sort of silent the mind. Now one can enjoy this silence. You can enjoy freedom from inner chatter. You can enjoy freedom from any kind of a thought. Just a kind of a concentrated mind. Just a kind of a calm mind, a tranquil mind. So this is kind of a direction that Buddha is leading us. So we can further discuss this later using various other suttas. So this is one level of development or one strategy of Sammasankappa explained in this, what you call this Dadhavitakka Sutta in Majjhima Nikaya. So with that, I like to conclude today's Sutta teaching session. Now I open the session for questions.
Okay. So for any new friends that's joining us for the first time, you may ask questions by raising your hand, or you may send them to me anonymously via chat. So Bhante, maybe we'll give it a moment to collect the questions.
Yeah.
Okay, Darshika, you may ask your question.
Yes, can.
My question is, I just want to know, what is the inner chatter that is called samsarana?
Can you repeat the question?
I want to find out what is inner chatter. I was under the impression that it's vichara. So what I want to know is, sometimes my mind tells me, I'm thinking of something, thinking of being able to get it in a chatter, sometimes it just comes to my mind, like it just pops up. So can you differentiate that and elaborate on it?
Correct, So when it comes to inner chatter, so assume that we are used to think some sensual desires, so always having certain sensual desires, sometimes having ill will, sometimes having harmful thoughts. So if we, if our mind is more inclined towards that way of thinking, so that is, if that is the one that we deliberately think, so then it becomes a habit of the mind. So when we are not even willingly think, so mind start to talk like that. Mind always thinking about how to harm another person, how to, say, hit another person, how to blame another person. So you are planning of doing that. And on the other hand, you are planning of having more and more sensual pleasures. So likewise, always the mind is occupied of some kind of even, say, passive way of thinking. And that is attuned towards the unwholesome side. So this is in a way quite harmful, and this is one level of inner chatter. But on the other hand, assume now you are changing your direction. Now you are trying to willingly, intentionally change your thinking pattern into wholesome side. You are purposely doing it. Say you are practicing mindfulness, you are practicing, say, more than mindfulness, say you are practicing loving kindness, you are having Buddha Anusati. So always now you are purposely trying to change the way of thinking. So always you are occupying your mind with some wholesome thought. Now, at the beginning you do it deliberately. You do it intentionally. So you purposely do loving kindness while you are traveling, while you are walking. So you do loving kindness practice. Say you do Buddha Anusati. So now you are trying to occupy your mind with that way of, wholesome thinking. Now later what happens is, now you don't need to intentionally do that. Now mind does it by itself. Now passively you are thinking of that. So that is also inner chatter. This is in a way not that harmful, because those thoughts are not harmful thoughts. But later one may understand, so why not have kind of a silence in the mind? Why not have a kind of a quietude in the mind? So this is the direction that Buddha is taking us. So this is actually possible through mindfulness practice. Say you are doing anapanasati, say paying attention to breath. Now again and again, your main focus is the breath. So in order to focus your mind onto breath, you don't need to think. At the beginning, you may probably have used labeling, say in breath, out breath. So this is also a vitakka, this is also a sankappa. So this is a very short word that we are simply using. But later, once the mind is fairly focused, fairly collected, we can even stop that, we can even drop that and have a kind of a quiet mind. So you are simply being aware of in-breath, simply being aware of out-breath. Yeah. So at this level, if you notice the mind, now there is no inner chatter at all. Kind of a complete silence is there. So this silent mind is observing the ongoing breath. Yeah.
And then trying to get something out last week, when I was doing the walk, just do the walking meditation. Now my, I can go to the people and as you said, you should be very lightly so that you get thoughts, because I wasn't getting any thoughts. So I was observing, now the, my mind came to my feet again, because I felt that the vinyana has no place to hold on to. So it came to my feet, but then I was like, it just came to my mind that, okay, this is faster, because I was feeling the same tightness or the firmness of the floor against my foot, and then that is nirodha. No attachment, like that, it just came to my mind of Aticca Sampada that he has been talking. So I want to know whether that's kind of an inner factor or that it is not silent mind, I thought.
So basically, when we are practicing, so that kind of thoughts can arise, and those are the way of insights. So insights also manifest like short thoughts. So if but at that so those are the, no that's what I'm trying to tell. So those are short thoughts. Those are short thoughts. But we should not now deliberately link it to a book or link it to a sermon or what we have heard or something like that. So rather simply let it calm down. So you understood it, it happened as a thought, and then you again calm down and continue a practice. So this continuation of the practice is the one sort of pops up that kind of a thought. So that is not a bad thing, because that's a kind of an understanding. So this understanding has manifested as a thought, but we should not add more to it by linking it with what we have heard through a sermon or what we have seen or read in a book or something like that. We should not deliberately sort of add to it, rather let it have it, let it understand it, again calm down, and then further continue our practice. So this continuation even can generate another even more powerful insight. That is also possible. Yeah, no problem. So that kind.
No problem.
Yeah. Those kind of instructions, those kind of insights can manifest in the mind as a short thought. And once it there, and you recognize it and let it go. So, and then again, mind calms down. Vivekanisita means you are allowing the mind to be secluded. Allow the mind to be silent. So, the instructions or the advices, whatever the insights.
They are not vitakka vichara.
They are. They are very short vitakka and vichara.
Yes, okay. So, what you just... make it
fun,
you are not getting attached to that. Just pass away and just carry on with your normal meditation.
Yes, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Yes, thank you. You may have sort of say, touched on my question, but the last bit where the Buddha said about calming the mind and having no thoughts. Now that is we only get it, we don't get it in daily life, but we get it only when we meditate and go into sort of the samadhi level. Would that be right if I said that?
Right onto one level, that as you further develops, you can get it even while in the daily activities. So you can have a quiet mind while you are, say, walking, while you are driving, while you are, say, waiting for someone, or whatever the other activities also can be done with a quiet mind. So, I mean, you may first encounter it in your meditation, but as you further develop your practice, so this is going to be available into other activities as well.
When we are on our own, more so.
Exactly.
Right one?
Yes, yes. Most probably like that, yes. But on the other hand, suppose you are in a meeting or you are with others, still you can have kind of a seclusion. So this is going to be available.
But you won't be listening to the meeting then, Bhante.
No, thing is, how about you are listening with a quiet mind? That is possible. Say
focus,
so,
mindfully you are listening.
Exactly.
Without other thoughts entering the mind.
Exactly. Say thoughts in the sense, I mean, you are not commenting inside your mind, but rather you completely absorb, you completely,
yes.
You are fully attentive with a very quiet mind.
Yes. That to get a completely quiet mind, I suppose one has to be at a higher spiritual level. Is that right, Pante?
So basically one has to develop mindfulness. So say for example, say Anapanasati is very popular for this sort of result, because Anapanasati is mainly recommended for Vitakka Charita, the one with too much thinking. So because Anapanasati really quietens the mind, calms down the mind, because it happens naturally, the breathing happens naturally, and you don't need any words or any thinking thoughts to experience it. So therefore it is really helpful to quieten the mind. So it actually naturally happens. So again and again, when you are simply paying your attention, so you are neglecting the thoughts happening in the mind, rather you are focusing onto the breath. So that is a physical experience, and you are more and more trying to be aware of that, so that too much thinking now starts to fade away, it weakens. Ultimately, it can completely disappear, and you may be even enjoy this breathing experience with a very quiet mind.
So, can ordinary people, without getting to a level of Sotapanna, Sagatagami, Anagami, that level, also can reach these levels?
Definitely, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then. That's thank you, Bhante.
Yeah. It's hard to listen, hear you, Jennifer.
Oh, okay. I will try to get closer and use my headphones. Pushpa?
Hiniduma, yeah. Yeah, Tenuan Sarnai.
Tenuan Sarnai Bhante. According to the Dvaita Vitakka Sutta, the mind comes to a state of calm and silent situation.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean the mind occupies without any sort of thought? Is it the blank mind you mentioned?
But here, actually here the mind is occupied with the body. Now this is very much the Kaya Anupassana's level, that it is not yet completely a free mind. Rather, it is now occupied with the kind of a process, the bodily process. So the kind of awareness is there, but the mind is free from inner chatter, any kind of thinking is not there, but the kind of still focus is there. Now, say for example, in order to practice vipassana, first of all, you need to focus your attention to some, phenomena. Say, maybe various as element characteristics, or maybe even a breath, rising and falling, various feelings. So likewise, you have to first of all occupy yourself, rather focus your attention to such kind of ongoing present phenomena. So at that time, having a quiet mind is very important. Now this is a level that mentioned in this sutta, but in the other suttas that I'll take maybe next week, so Buddha mentioned, say, when one's mind is further developed, so after you do this observation, after you practice vipassana, so you will understand the consequences of these phenomena, the behavior of these phenomena, will understand the danger of these phenomena, and then, as we discuss in the Sammaditti, then the mind will have a more wisdom, and even to let go of that, there you can enjoy the freedom. So actually here today in the Dvaita Vitakka Sutta, we only come to the level of properly focusing the mind. So you have calmed down the replaced wrong thinking with the correct thinking, and then you have even quietened that thinking, and now the mind is quiet, but now the mind is attentive or focused to the body. So now we can properly start the Kaya Anupassana practice. We can observe various, characteristics, bodily postures, even breath or rising and falling, or even can move to Vedana Anupassana. So this is the kind of a beginning of a proper, say, vipassana, we can say.
Much metta bhante, it's clear.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to invite Joseph to please ask the next question.
Thank you. Hello, Bhante.
Yep.
So, in my practice now, I find I can sit and very quickly feel very calm. I will move my attention to the feeling of weight in my body, and everything feels very subtle fairly quickly within a couple of minutes. I then can move my attention to the breath, which also becomes subtle fairly quickly, and then there's a sense of release, and I've gotten more comfortable being without a kind of tactile primary object, and just being in that equally suspended attention. And I'm wondering, from there, I notice when a tension arises, or if I all of a sudden notice that I've been thinking, I can kind of see or feel the tension, and I see tension in the mind, and I can let it go, and I become more aware that there's always some kind of peace accessible, no matter what kind of tension, thinking comes and goes. There's always an overall kind of peace which is there. So I try more and more to just connect with that. And now I find that when I do connect with that kind of overall peace, there's no focal point. And I'm just wondering if that is correct, to sort of stay in that place with no focal point. Or if that is the point itself, to just be in that emptiness, or is the point to then focus that that mindfulness on some kind of contemplation, on some kind of some goal? And so I was wondering if you could clarify that for me, please.
Yeah. So actually, we should not have any focus point. So now you have reached there. So you have correctly mentioned that there is no focus point. So that is where we have to lead. So that is where Buddha mentioned anissito, anissito cha viharati. So your mind does not associate with anything at all. So your mind is not established at any place at all. So it is then only it may have its own kind of a freedom. So there's a very beautiful statement that we have mentioned. Say, let me show you in the Sammaditti part where we discuss in the Kacchanagotta Sutta, if you can remember. So Buddha, so Upaya, Upadana, Chetaso, Adhithana, Abhinivesa, Anusaya. So these are the areas that Buddha teach us where how our mind may deal with. Either one may engage with, so the mind is engaged with something, or may even go and cling to something, or may can have even a kind of a mental standpoint, kind of a thought about it, and even can get into it. Now you are living there, adherence to it, and kind of an underlying tendency. So a free mind is a mind free from all these. So this is a kind of a very, it is not possible to have complete freedom immediately, but at least slowly we should have no object at all, should have no association at all. So the mind is free from any object. Mind is free from any establishment. Mind is free from any attachment. So then only the mind starts to sort of convince, okay, there's a possible, this is possible. It is, I mean, otherwise we may even tempt to think that always the mind has to occupy with something. We need something always. But now you are even for a short time, now you are experiencing, it is not necessary. It is not a must. You can have a kind of a complete calmness, complete peacefulness, where the mind is not associating anything at all. So it has its own freedom. So this is what we call Cheto Vimutti, where the freedom of mind. So this has to be further enhanced, further developed, and you can now watch how this freedom is lost. What are the causes for you to lose this freedom? Then you are actually using your wisdom to avoid those or to remove those say obstacles. Say while you are keeping your mind completely free, completely unestablished. So then assume that there's a sensual thought. Now again mind go and try to occupy that. Now again mind go and try to lean onto something. Now you are not free. The mind is not free. Now you recognize that. The mindfulness will show you this fellow has now trying to go and lean onto something, to latch onto something. And there you recognize that and apply some vipassana technique, and you simply understand, okay, I am now losing the mindfulness, or rather the freedom, and now I'll feel a little burden, kind of an obstructed, and simply you remove it and again come back to freedom. So in a way the practice become more and more simplified, because now you are able to recognize kind of a safe dwelling. You are able to recognize the effortless kind of mindfulness. So that has to be encouraged. That is where the Viveka Nisitang, that you are allowing the mind to be more secluded. Viraga Nisitang, so you are allowing the mind to be more dispassionate. So there are various things available. Sounds are available, tactile sensations are available, sights are available, tastes are available. So many things are available, but the mind is not interested about them. So you have kind of a dispassion. On dispassion, the mind is developing now. Hope you got the point.
That's great. And so just to clarify, that the emptiness is the place to be, because I think the one doubt that I have, I can notice, say, the other distractions once I start to get pulled into them. After a moment, a few seconds, I kind of realize that it's an obvious it's taken me away. But the lingering doubt is there some other goal I should be directing my attention to? And from what I'm hearing is that there is no other goal, that the emptiness itself is just the place to be. There's nowhere to direct that.
Yeah. So basically,
is that correct?
Yeah. So while being there, you are developing in a way bojjhanga. So you are developing the tranquility, the passaddhi sambojjhanga, you are developing the concentration, the samadhi sambojjhanga, and you are mostly developing the upekkha, the equanimity, because there is nothing to do now. Because your mind has reached a point, kind of a complete freedom, so now you just have to enjoy it. You just have to familiarize with it. Now there you have nothing to do, so the urge to do something is kind of a sankhara. So we always have kind of an urge that I want to do this, I want to do that. So we have kind of an urge. So that urge has to be sort of calmed down. So that urge actually makes the mind agitated. Now we recognize that urge, inner urge coming, kind of a drive coming, kind of an ambition coming. So we have to recognize that and have to let it calm down, and then mind become more peaceful. So it is peaceful, empty, free, and it is more spacious. And later, you can understand why can't I maintain it. Now this is another exploration that you need to do. So this is not, I mean, reaching this level is not the, say, final goal. So you need to further cleanse the mind. So why can't this mind sustain there? Why can't the mind completely be there? So still there are sort of agitating potential available in the mind. Whenever there is sort of a lustful object is around, when it comes to the vicinity, so again mind get agitated, mind get occupied. If ever kind of a ill will thought happens in the mind, again mind get occupied. So again something, mind get involved, get entangled, so you may lose the freedom. So you may understand, so these are the still the culprits available. So those also have to be slowly eliminated. So it's a, first of all, we need to establish ourselves in this freedom, and that has to be properly registered and has to be well familiarized with. And later, while being there, even very subtle defilements, we need to understand why we are losing this, say, freedom, why we are losing this peacefulness. So likewise, now you are in another realm, another level of vipassana, so you are now able to recognize the sort of incoming, say, obstacles to harm this freedom, to occupy this freedom. So, and then actually you are sort of more and more, you become familiar with this freedom, and you are, while walking, you can enjoy this freedom, and say, while you are doing some other activity, you can keep your mind, say, kind of free, unassociated. So likewise, you need to expand this skill further and further. It becomes then your home of the mind. So mind has ultimately come back home.
Thank you so much, Pandit.
Yeah.
Teruvan Sannai.
Yeah, Teruvan Sannai.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to invite Dovya to please ask the next question.
Pandit?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm really a bit confused about this empty mind, because what I feel, empty mind, there's no objective in the mind, free of all objectives, and there's nothing in the mind. So at that, so I can be like that, but at that same time, if I focus on placing satya on what I'm doing, then again my mind goes there. So it's two different things.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yeah, two different things. So actually, now say for example, if you go back to your beginning of your mindfulness practice, say a couple of years ago, you started your practice. So at that time, your mind is have the tendency to occupy in the past or the future or to this and that. So, I mean, filled with a lot of distractions. So in order to avoid that, what you did is selected certain, say, bodily activity, say, like mindfulness, say, like breathing, like walking, say, whatever the daily activity that you do. So you use that as an anchor for the mind. Now you are not allowing the mind to distract, rather you are using mindfulness activities to hold the mind, to sort of still the mind, to calm the mind, to tame the mind. So you are selecting certain harmless object for the mind to occupy. So that is one level that is necessary actually. So that is the beginning of Kaya Anupassana. Now after you continue that, say your mindfulness has developed. Now you have some amount of focus, attention. Now you have concentration. Now you don't stop there. You start to observe these various phenomena. How this breath works, how this breath behaves, how these various feelings behave, how these various, say, bodily, say, characteristics, say, element characteristics, how they behave. So you start kind of an investigation. So this is the vipassana practice. So once you continue this vipassana practice, so the mind starts to gain wisdom. So once mind is sort of strengthened with wisdom, so then more and more mind, as previously Joseph mentioned, so mind starts to let go everything. Mind recognize this emptiness. Mind recognize.
And the mind.
Yeah, mind starts to appreciate this emptiness, because being with this all conditioned phenomena, whenever they are constantly arising and passing away, whenever they are sort of kind of an aberration, whenever they are sort of say tiresome job, so why am I going and sort of hinge with them? Why am I going and holding them? Why not can I be free? So this is a kind of a question, inner question coming to the mind. So it may automatically happens that mind will completely relinquish everything and get on to an area where there is nothing to hold. There is nothing to establish. There is nothing to attach. So once you are there, now don't deliberately go and attach with something. Now don't go and purposely be mindful on something. Rather, just allow the mind to just be. So there we have mindfulness, but it is a kind of effortless mindfulness. It's a kind of an awareness. So there you are not deliberately go and pick something and holding it. Instead, allow the mind just to be free.
At that moment now, while doing something at home, supposing now I'm eating tea, so I concentrate, I place my satya on that.
So that is one level, no? That is what I started the answer. So that is one level. So can't...
That moment will be free.
So that's what I am telling. So while you are preparing tea, can't you keep your mind quiet?
Quiet.
Yeah.
Yes.
So can't you keep your mind sort of... Is it really necessary for you to say attach with the tea in order to prepare the tea?
So, I can keep my free.
Yeah.
That is not satya.
No, this is the thing. That is the thing I am telling. So satya, mindfulness, is an evolving property. It's an evolving property. At the beginning, you have purposeful mindfulness. You are deliberately keeping your mind onto something. Deliberately, whenever you are keeping your attention onto some bodily activity, that is kaya anupassana. Deliberately, you are keeping your attention to feelings, say it is vedana anupassana. To thoughts, say it is chitta anupassana. So that is one level. So then you are improving it. You are further refining that mindfulness. So there, ultimately, you come to a... Not ultimately, I mean, further... As you develop mindfulness, it becomes kind of an inherent quality, inherent skill. Now you don't need to deliberately maintain mindfulness. You have sort of an unbroken mindfulness. So it's a available mindfulness. But still, mind is occupied. So you are active, various activities. You are being mindful. No harm, no problem. That is another level. Then assume that you are further enhancing your mindfulness practice, you are enhancing particularly the vipassana practice. So at that level, mind starts to let go. Mind starts to enjoy its own freedom, not associating anything. So there also still mindfulness is available. It is not, mind is unmindful, mind is completely mindful. But it's a kind of a soft mindfulness. It is not kind of a deliberate mindfulness. It is not a occupied mindfulness. It's a kind of a very soft, ongoing, effortless kind of mindfulness. So therefore, while you are making a tea, you can have that mindfulness. But basically, in order for that to understand, you have to reach, I mean, you have to go through all this cycle. So if you are only at the level of first level, you can't understand this third level. So if you are still in the second level, you can't understand this third level. So when you have this third level, you can actually understand all these three levels.
Okay, thank you, Bhante.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to invite Renuka to please ask the next question.
Hello.
We can't hear you.
Hello, Deepa. Try unmuting again. Okay, you're unmuted now. Can you? But we still cannot hear you.
There seems to be, yeah, Renuka, can you hear us? We can't hear you. Okay, I think there seems to be a technical issue there. So if that is all the questions, then we can wind up the session. So it seems Renuka can't connect.
Renuka, if you would still like to ask your question, you may send them to me via chat, and then maybe we can circle back on your question next week.
Yeah, so then we'll wind up today's session. So almost 1.5 hours we have spent time in discussing various suttas and trying to get some insights from the Buddha's teaching, and again we have discussed certain matters related to our practice. With these wholesome activities, we are able to accumulate a lot of merits. Let's share these merits with all the beings. Let's recite the traditional verses. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha ca bummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu sasanang. Akasattha ca bummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu desanang. Akasattha ca bummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu mamparang. Idang vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idang vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idang vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.